This is Veda Sports, only on the VSiN Podcast Network.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Veda Sports Podcast. And it's college basketball March Madness week. And on this week, we have a special guest, Mr. Alan Boston. But first, my rant is going to be opposite of what my rant was 3 weeks ago, which is my Los Angeles Lakers, which were left for dead 3 weeks ago, losing four straight, dropping to 10 over 500, the laughing stock of the NBA, have now won 10 out of 11 and beat four quality teams. And a lot of people think they're a contender now. I'm not sold on it. I'm hoping they are. But just the fact they turned it around, I'm pretty happy about. But you know what? It's college basketball week, and we're going to let my man, Brandon Cantu, tell us about his rant.
Oh, my God. I hate Mark DeRosa so much. And what he did on the World Baseball Classic, he made an absolute joke and a mockery. Every team took it, like, really seriously except for DeRosa. Now, we're coming back from last week until he admitted, you know, all those blunders that he thought he had it all locked up. He thought, he did so many things. I'm struggling here today.
Didn't they lead 2-1? Didn't they lead going to the ninth inning?
They led 2-2. They got Mason Miller in the bullpen, who throws 102 miles an hour, strikes nearly, he struck out already 22 people in this tournament. That's all he does is strike people out. They leave him and they don't put him in because the game is tied. And the manager comes out and says, like, oh, it's the ninth inning, bottom of the ninth. I mean, when our team can just hit, like, everybody hits like 50 plus home runs on the team. But of course he doesn't play those players like Cal Raleigh. And it made me so frustrated to watch that, to watch us lose to Venezuela yesterday, especially with how much Venezuela cares. But good for Venezuela, actually. It was kind of a fun game to watch.
Yeah, it's good for them. It's good, you know, with us kind of freeing Venezuela, it's actually good for the country. Alan, what's on your mind, my friend?
Jeez. You know, you kind of like hit me real close here, and most of my rants aren't sports related, or if they are, they're rather obvious with the I'll go with the ruination of my beloved college basketball. And I'm not talking about the rigged tournament draw where they go behind closed doors with big money at stake like our government and expect it to all come out like fair, which is impossible. You have a lot of money and people behind closed doors, evil lurks. That's just fact. That's human nature. But I will go with the fact that I tried watching some basketball games, which is what I do for a living, and I found it impossible to watch. A travel is now called a Eurostep, except when it's called a travel. An offensive foul is sometimes a block and sometimes it's not. Sometimes you can push off with your left arm and sometimes you can't. And I have no fucking idea what I'm watching. So they need to have some sort of set of rules that are actually basketball rules instead of just going on the fly and slanting it towards who they want to win. Which maybe doesn't happen, but maybe in the case of Duke, does.
Yeah, I agree. They don't really call traveling anymore. It's a Eurostep.
You don't know what an offensive foul is. You don't know what a defensive foul is. You don't know anything. And
they're letting them play.
How's that one? They're letting them play.
What are your thoughts on the East region? Some of these eight, nine games. All right, well, let's start.
I don't have a graph in front of me. I don't know who's in the East region, and I don't really care who's in the East region.
Ohio State, TCU. Let's start there.
8-9 game.
Okay, so Ohio State is a 2.5 favorite, something like that. And they got red hot at the end of the year, but it's not just the end of the year that counts. And I would contend that their best games were in good spots. They played well in the Big East tournament, the Big Ten tournament, but they were against teams that were apathetic, Iowa and Michigan. Some of their late season wins were against teams who had given it up or lacked motivation. And early in the year, like they were, I think they might have lost to West Virginia in overtime or beat them close. They really had no good wins. So I think their ceiling is really not that high. TCU, on the other hand, a team I didn't have rated very highly to start the year. Near the beginning of the year, you almost beat Michigan at home. Like, how good does that look? And even better, on a neutral court tournament, they beat both Florida and Wisconsin back-to-back. And I like to discuss out-of-conference because you're playing non-conference teams mostly in the NCAA tournament. So what happens in conference, even though it's more recent, is less relevant than what happens out of conference. In conference, TCU went to Kansas, led all the way, and had just pissed it away. Went to BYU and almost won. And I'm doing it off the top of my head, so if I fuck up, I apologize. In other words, their best game would seem to be way better than Ohio State's best game, and I expect that I expect TCU to win the game. And I think they're if you could ever get 3 -15 or something,
and in the,
I think
in
it's
the,
borderline in the five, stealing.
In the 5-12 matchup, we have a red-hot St. John's against Northern Iowa.
Yeah, I want to talk this game.
What's your thoughts?
So St. John's seeding is wrong. So
I
why
agree.
Is it wrong?
Higher,
and I can
right?
go into a, speaking of behind closed doors, fucking mid-majors over, we have Northern Iowa, St. John's. So Northern Iowa as a 12 is probably legit, but St. John's as a 5 is not. There are 3 or 4 at worst, but more likely a 3 since they won the Big East tournament and beat a very good UConn easily.
Beat them easily, yeah. Watch that game.
So how do you make Northern Iowa's life miserable? You misseed the other team. So they drop St. John's down to the 5 bracket to make Northern Iowa's life miserable because Northern Iowa would probably either would have a good chance to beat most normal 5 seeds. And you can't have that because the mid-majors, they think, are not where the money is made. That's what the committee thinks. That's what this whole thing's about. This whole thing is about getting money to the right places. Just like our government, when they make all these laws that fuck over the middle class and help out the military-industrial complex or Big Farm or whoever the flavor of the month is. This month, it's all of them. It's oil and the military-industrial complex. Trump is helping them all out. Isn't he nice? Fucking disappointment.
What would you have seeded St. John's? What would you have seeded him?
I think I would have had him a 3.
A 3, okay.
Now we
I
have
think 4. I think 4 is maybe closer to the truth, but since they slaughtered UConn, and if you want to give any credence to winning the Big East tournament, I'd probably move him up to a 3. But it's close. Yeah, let's see. I'd have the 4 ones are right. The 2 should be Gonzaga, UConn, Houston, and probably Purdue since they won the Big Ten tournament. And then the 3s would be Iowa State. Yeah, St. John's would be a 3.
So the other game that's in the conference.
I didn't even offer an opinion there. I just commented on why they fuck St. John's in the seeding. So I have no opinion. I think the line's bang on right. I think St. John's will not win the NCAA tournament because they lack 3-point shooting. And one day it doesn't matter how well you defend. If you don't make shots, you're not going to win. And the 3-point shot is far too relevant in this game now. By the way, that's not a good thing. Yeah. Why should you get 3 points for hitting a 30-footer and 2 points for getting a layup? That's
I
beyond my IQ. But St. John's is no threat to win the whole thing, even though at times they look unbeatable.
You don't see a 5-12 upset, though, do you? There?
No, he said dead on.
Northern Iowa lacks the talent probably to beat them, but Northern Iowa, Jacobson's an unbelievably good coach. Their defense is fantastic. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And his defense is 5 moving at 1. It's very Brad Stevens-esque how good their defense is. And they certainly could make St. John's life miserable, but they're too out-athleted to pull the upset.
I got to ask you, I know the next game we're going to go over is Kansas, California Baptist. We'll just go right down. I think just right down. And I know how well you think California Baptist is coach. Is there any chance, I know it's like a 14.5 point line. Is there any chance they pull off the upset?
I mean, there's always some chance, right? It's just math.
Sure.
There's always some chance.
But is it realistic?
And they will get him into a half court grind, which this is not a great Kansas team. And their best player has it his NIL contract that he can pull himself out of the game whenever he wants. Isn't that great? Here, we're going to pay you $2 million, but you can leave the fucking game whenever you want.
The
whole thing's just
that.
So fucking ridiculous. He's a pussy anyway. I don't like him. I don't care how talented he is.
Yeah.
Play through the fucking injury, you pussy. Like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
This is not a good Kansas team. I don't think Bill Self is some great coach. I do think Rick Corey is pretty good, the guy at Baptist. And I do think they'll get him to a half-court game. And anytime you get into a low-scoring grind with a team that's not very proficient at scoring like Kansas is, you could see a 65-63 Baptist win. But, again, they're probably too outmanned. That's the problem with the NIL. Is one team pays $1 million for a player, the other team pays $50,000 for the player. Who do you think has better players? Whereas, and with the rampant transferring, guys who are very good at creating programs, at developing players, they don't have 2-3 years together with these players to make them a terrific unit. It's always 11 new players every year. Witness what Miami O did. They had most of the team come back last year. but we'll get to them later. So no, yeah. I don't see any kind of upset, but I do lean to Cal Baptist. I think the line is slightly high.
All right, hold on. We got what do you think of this this UCLA 7-10 matchup?
I think Central Florida shouldn't be in the tournament. In fact, I know they shouldn't be. They'd be a 5.5-point dog to both San Diego State and Auburn, who aren't in the tournament. So that's how bad that is. Wow. So UCLA struggled with injuries this year, and most recently had two guys out in the latest game against Purdue. However, they're all healthy. Sky Clark is back for a few games now and very healthy. Cronin did a lot of work with his point guard, the kid from New Mexico, and he's become a more complete point guard. He's less out of control and more willing to pass. I think UCLA is maybe the only dark horse that has a chance to make a big run. That's kind of a long shot. Central Florida has Johnny Dawkins. He's a clown, and there's nothing. They're completely outmanned. They have no good wins this year, and if they did, I think they'd beat Kansas at home. Big deal. That's not even a good win. In the must-win games down the stretch, they lost to Oklahoma State, who can't play a lick. And Baylor fresh off taking Arizona to the wire at home. So they caught two teams in the right spot and lost to both of them. And then they went to West Virginia in a game they thought they had to win and couldn't win that. So I give them zero chance to beat UCLA, and I think UCLA will absolutely murder them. I think this is a very, very good UCLA team who's playing at their best right now.
And with that said, we are going to take our first break.
Yes, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Fade of Sports on the VSiN Podcast Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands of data and tools. And what they don't want you to know is what you could get when you same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets. Okay, Alan, we're going to go to the next region, which
Hold on,
is...
we got one more game. We got to go over UConn and Furman, because then I want to hear... if anyone can beat Duke from Boston.
Well, UConn's not going to lose to Furman, okay?
No, not lose to, but we're here. The line's
Furman's got a great coach. Furman's got a great coach, but they can't beat UConn. I think UConn can win the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, if he learns from the St. John's loss, where St. John's completely got Caravan away from the spots that he wants to shoot from, and Hurley's coaching staff is elite, they're definitely a threat to win the whole thing. I think their best game is immense. So I give UConn a shot to win the whole thing. I'm a huge Hurley fan.
So we go over to the South Contest Conference. Florida's the number one seed. We have an 8-9 game with Clemson and Iowa. That looks interesting. We have Vanderbilt, who's really been well, in a 5-12 game at McNeese. Nebraska.
And he's a 5?
What's that? Yeah, Vandy's a 5. They should be higher, right? Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're playing a mid-major. Notice they're playing a mid-major.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts?
A dangerous mid-major. Right into my theory.
I'm sure you think the Florida's going to win, so we'll pass on that. Clemson and Iowa 8-9 game. What do you think there?
I think the mirror image of each other. Two excellent coaches who lack talent and who get teams to overachieve. I think the game's very even. I'd lean to Clemson.
Okay, and then we go to Vanderbilt and McNeese. That's the 5-12 matchup.
McNeese is very, very good. But Vandy, you saw Vandy destroy Florida.
Yeah,
I doubt many teams would have beaten them that day. So I think the line's about right. So I'd pass that.
Nebraska is a 4 seed. Best year they've ever had. What do you think about them? Can they do damage?
Troy. No. Okay. I'm not a fan of that coach. So they started like a house of fire. At the beginning of the year, they looked almost unbeatable. Went to Michigan with 5
they
players.
They were 20-0, and one of the only college games I watched this
went
year
to
was
Michigan
when they played
with
Michigan.
Only basically 5 players and almost won the game. Just absolutely incredible effort. However, and this is the big however, as they saw teams the second time, they struggled to score. And it would appear, and I'm just guessing, I'm not an X's and O's guy, and I don't really know anything about basketball. It would appear that the film indicated how you guard Nebraska. Also, Mast, who's probably the most important player, is playing with a bit of an injury and definitely seems to be hampering him a little bit. I read that on a forum, not that I could visually see it. And I think they have a good chance to lose this game.
Okay. This is a 6 versus 11. I know North Carolina struggled at the end of the year here. They're playing VCU. Any chance of an upset?
Who are we talking, VCU who?
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Any chance to bet against Hubert Davis is always welcome. So, yeah, of course they could lose. Yeah. The coach is a clown. Yeah. But I will say Martelli Jr.'s team made fools of themselves the last 5 minutes against Dayton. That was embarrassing. So, yeah, it's the battle of attrition there.
Okay. Illinois.
No opinion. I made the game too, but Hubert Davis is a moron. So I'd only bet BCU.
Illinois Penn. You see any upset there? Lean anyway.
Illinois what?
Illinois and Penn from the.
Well, you at least mentioned that I graduated from UPenn. You got to at least mention that. Like, you know, let's get the Ivy League plug 20, in there.
That's right.
25 and a half. By the way, 25 and a half is a lot for your a home team.
It's a lot, but maybe appropriate. My worry is, yeah, the line's too high, but my worry is that Illinois had a 15-point lead in the conference tournament against Wisconsin, and Underwood said we just went to sleep. So if they get 15 ahead of Penn, they may have that in the back of their minds and try to run one up here. So the line's too high, but I'm not excited about betting Penn.
And here's a real interesting game. A St. Mary's team that really finished strong, really good, playing a Texas A&M team that I think limped a little bit down the stretch. 7-10 game.
Yeah, St. Mary's, Randy Bennett, definitely one of the best coaches in the country. Doesn't have a lot to work with. Small school with not a lot of NIL money. And he just makes it work. He's an absolute wizard. Their second half against Gonzaga might have been the best half of basketball I've ever watched. They played a borderline perfect half. They made no mistakes on either side of the ball. I think A&M, Bucky McMillan was at Samford last year, and his up-tempo kind of chaotic type style can work in a mid-major atmosphere, but tends to fail when playing better teams. And I have a hunch that St. Mary's is going to get them in a half-court slog and make their lives miserable. And I have no opinion because I think the line is actually slightly high, but I'll be rooting for St. Mary's, but I have no opinion on the bet.
Okay. And then the last one, Houston, Idaho, 215. I don't see an upset there.
Yeah, without talent, you're in trouble against Houston.
Now we go. We're going to head
over. Great year by Idaho, though. Great runs for the conference tournament. Really, really good. Good job by the coach.
We head over to the West, and what a lot of people are saying that what kind of like you said last year, Florida was the cream of the crop. They're going to win it. Yeah, they struggled late, and they came on strong to win the games last year. But here we go with Arizona. Do you believe Arizona is the team to beat?
No, I think Florida's the team to beat.
Wow. You think Florida can repeat? So you
I think they have several guys who've been through it. I think that's important. The coach is terrific. He makes great in-game adjustments. They have great rim protection, which is massively important. They have great depth. They wear teams down with their depth and rim protection, much like Michigan. And the weakness in Florida was their guard play, where they have an Ivy Leaguer at their point guard. Usually not a good thing if you're trying to win championships. But the kid has gotten more comfortable playing against more athletic opponents and has gotten very good as the year gone on. And, they don't really have any holes in their game except maybe the lack of athleticism at point guard. But the kid's Xavier Lee's projected as a second-round pick, so maybe he's a bit more athletic than I think. He's certainly a very smart player and certainly is adapted.
So maybe the loss for Florida to Vandy might be the best thing to happen on going into the tournament.
Yeah, you want to get knocked out in the conference tournament. It's all bullshit. Why do you want to wear yourself out against for nonsense so some conference can make some money on TV contracts? It's all bullshit. Yeah, they should get knocked. They didn't show up for that game, and Vandy was also very, very good, so they weren't winning anyway. But,
Okay, so...
No, I think Arizona's going to crash out at some point. As impressive as they've been, they're still a youngish team, and youngish teams sometimes hit a wall by year's end. And I could see that happening later in the tournament, that Arizona kind of hits a wall with some of the youth.
Okay, so now we go to the 8-9 game in the West, Villanova and Utah State. This is kind of interesting. I watched UNLV crush Utah State. Then they went to the tournament and beat everybody. And Villanova's like been right in the middle. This is a pretty interesting game. What's your thoughts?
I think Villanova overachieved. I think great job by Kevin Willard. His point guard, who's this star stud player, is just a three-star recruit, which is not good for a high major league. Great job by him. Overachieved. Lost a player a few weeks ago. Actually matters. So they're down a notch from that. And overachieving teams sometimes come back to earth in these tournaments. Utah State, just Jared Calhoun is unbelievable. And I watched them play San Diego State. It was just uber impressive. Like, for them to be a nine seed is a complete fucking joke.
I watched the second half. That was like very impressive.
Yeah, they got fucked. But they do, like, again, the same as they're dropping Vanderbilt and St. John's to five seeds when they should be threes to fuck McNeese and Northern Iowa. Here's Utah State in at the nine. All right, so Villanova's not the worst draw for a nine, but they'll have to play a one seed next.
Yeah.
So they find ways to just get rid of the mid-majors as quickly as possible. And I totally believe this. I know it sounds conspiracy theorist, but I'm right. Go look at all the years and all the draws they've had, and it's always the same. And trust me, I know what they should be seeded.
Yeah.
I have the ratings. Anyway, I think Utah State wins the game and is going to give whoever they play in the next round
Arizona. It's going to be Arizona.
They'll give Arizona a ton of trouble. They are very, very good, Utah State.
Our guest last week was very high on this team. I want to know your opinion. And that's Wisconsin. They're a five, and they're playing High Point a 12. Are you as high on Wisconsin as our last guest was? He says they got a good shot.
No. Okay. Zero.
Minus 10.5, by the way.
No, I like High Point. Line's too high. So I can understand where you're coming from. If you look at Wisconsin's game, just pragmatically, they won in Michigan.
Okay.
No one did that, right?
Right.
No one.
They losses, right, all year?
They were fantastic down the stretch. Even when they lost their starting center, Winter, like they still played great. So all the obvious, if you view it very obviously, it they look great. However, it's Wisconsin. And their talent is their ceiling has to be limited. It has to be, because their talent is not overwhelming. The coach is very good, yeah. But I think some of their wins are more maybe the other team not playing well rather than being great. Now, High Point last year should have beaten Purdue. The refs completely fucked them over.
We were really high on High Point last year.
They were very good. Now, this team is not as good. They lost on a neutral to Appalachian State, which is not good. They lost at home to Southern Illinois, which is not good. But their power rating still is pretty high. They lost that big center who went to some power school with a double last name. He was their rim protection, which is, again, I mentioned, very, very important. So this is not as good a High Point team as last year. However, Wisconsin's not some elite team that's going to run right over High Point. And I think the line is way too high, so okay. I like High Point.
And the 4 seed versus 13 Arkansas Hawaii. I'm not. What's the line? Can't do. I'm not sure.
15.5.
Yeah.
So Arkansas got screwed, but again, they hate Calipari because he actually goes out and speaks truth.
Well, yeah, you saw what he did. He came out and he's talked about how fucked up the money situation is. He goes, we develop players for a year or two, and then they just get paid infinite money to go to somewhere else. And he's like, but then again, we could say, well, Calipari paid for his players before you were allowed to pay for players. So he's kind of getting back what he deserves. But
yeah, he might be. I like Calipari because I think he actually is a truth sayer.
Yeah.
He's very generous. He donates money to charity and he's a straight shooter. I like him in that regard. I think he's a moron as a coach, but as a straight shooter, I think he's great. But I also think he's being a little selfish there because they used to pay $200,000 for players at Kentucky. Yeah. You know, they got the money to the right players. Or what I was told happened was his friend, the agent, would front the money. And they'd come to Calipari, and Calipari would suggest, I think you should go to this agent in the pros. So the agent, you know, would put up a couple $100,000 to get a player, and it was like a free roll, because if he signed the guy, you know, when the guy's making millions and millions and millions, the agent got more than enough back in return. Anyway, yeah, so I think Calipari liked it when he could just buy the players and no one else could. That being said, he is right. Like, the system is flawed and ridiculous.
Very flawed.
But they go after Calipari has never had a good draw in this tournament. That's fact. He's right about that. And the fact that they're playing on a Thursday after playing on a Sunday is absurd.
Yeah.
Play Sunday, you should play Friday. That's just that. Never mind. There was a I think part of the tournament's in Oklahoma City or Tulsa, I forget, one of those things, which would have been more convenient for Arkansas to travel to. Instead, they ship them up to fucking Oregon, which is just crazy. So they got screwed on the Sunday-Thursday dynamic. They got screwed on the travel. And they're playing a team that is very well coached, that'll get them in a half-court game and could make their life miserable. I think the line's slightly high, so I definitely lean to Hawaii.
Okay.
Arkansas is no killer.
In the 6,
they have talent, but they're no killer, and Calipari is not a good coach.
In the 6-11 game, we have BYU with what many consider the best player in the country, or the second best, going to be drafted 1 or 2, and against an underachieving Texas team at 11. What's the line, Cantu?
2.5 BYU.
Interesting game. 6-11.
So I think BYU is going to kill them. Not a Texas fan. They were life and death yesterday. But worse for them is they played in Dayton last night and have to go to Oregon to play tomorrow night, which is just completely insane and matters. Like, you're traveling 3 time zones. You've all traveled to your poker tournaments. And, you know, see, these are athletes playing a game last night and getting to Oregon. So it hurts the prep. It hurts the circadian rhythm, or whatever that fucking term is. It hurts your inner rhythms, and fatigue could matter here. Like, you're just all fucked up from the travel. I think BYU, they lost Saunders, who's their 3-point bomber and kind of a glue guy. And the team definitely fell off the map a little bit. But DeSantis is a joke. Like, he doesn't try half the time. He doesn't play defense half the time. Doesn't move without the ball. He's immensely talented. Like, forget it. Like, just a freak athlete. But I can't stand him. I wouldn't want him on my team. I think he makes the team worse. In fact, I was hoping they'd get worse so I could make money betting on BYU, because I think they're pretty good without him. That being said, they quit half the games at the end of the year, but when they did try, they crushed Iowa State at home without Saunders. And the game against Houston was a very, very good game. They played Houston pretty much to a standstill. Any kind of effort by them, and they should try, it's the NCAA tournament. And they should lay over Texas, who really hasn't done much to write home about all year. So I definitely like BYU.
All right. Well, we're gonna take our second break. We're gonna take our second break.
Cantu had something to say. Come on.
Go ahead.
This is important. This is Brandon Cantu, everybody.
We're gonna take our second question.
We're gonna take our second break. Then we're gonna come back with the last three of this conference: Gonzaga, Kennesaw, Miami, Missouri, Purdue, and Queens. And then we're going to go over the Midwest when we get back. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Feta Sports on the VSiN Podcast Network.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Feta Podcast. We're going to now finish our last three from this bracket. Gonzaga, Kennesaw State. I know a lot of people are high on Gonzaga. What's your opinion? Can they win that conference?
And I have a question before you get into it. This is my favorite team that I've kind of followed. Used to always watch the games with my grandfather, God rest his soul. I would really like to know what you think about this game, and if there's any trouble, and we will say they will play BYU after that, what your thoughts are.
We talking Gonzaga?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved them when they were Cinderella, and then they crossed the line and no longer were, and that was kind of sad. And I could have ranted about that. That's why the tournament is lost, because there's no more Cinderellas. NIL and rampant transferring has stopped coaches that are great at developing players into creating a real monster team out of nothing. And NIL means that you're always going to have less talent because you have less money. So Cinderella is gone, and Cinderella is the spirit and charm of this tournament. And I think this tournament will be ruined within 10 years. All right, so that's my second rant and second thought. As for Gonzaga, they're very, very good. Mark Few is elite as a coach. I wouldn't say elite, but he's excellent. And, yeah, they lost a good player for the year, but they have plenty of talent. I think...
Line's 21.5.
Yeah, it's a bad matchup for Kennesaw. Kennesaw likes to play fast, and playing fast against Gonzaga ain't going to do it. Like, St. Mary's gets them in that half-court game, which they don't like at all. Not that they can't run half-court offense. They run very good half-court offense, Gonzaga. But
if they win, they'll play Kennesaw's in over their head.
And I think Gonzaga can go a long way. I think they're a very, very good team. They're a notch below the elite teams, but they're not as talented as the elite teams. And okay. that's always a problem. But
can they beat the one seed is Arizona and the two seed in the bracket is Purdue? Can they beat either
yes.
of those teams?
They'd be favored over okay. Purdue. They'd be a betting really? Favorite okay. over Purdue. So that's for sure. And all they right. could beat Arizona because like I said, I think Arizona goes down at some point. I think Arizona's had this meteoric rise throughout the actually maybe not. They beat Florida the first game of the year, so maybe they always were good. But I watched Arizona play. I love them. I love watching them. They're really, really good. But I don't know. I just got a hunch that they hit a clinker here once in a while. They'll put a clinker in and get knocked out.
And the last two of the West is Miami, 7th seed against a 10th seed in Missouri.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think the line should be 2.
And what is the line?
2.
Okay. Who do you like to win the game?
I'm a Dennis Gates fan, so I'll root for Missouri. But
okay. And then Purdue.
They've been pretty schizo this year.
Purdue and Queens, you don't see an upset there, do you?
No, I don't see an upset, but I think Queens will cover. There's a lot of money for Purdue. Queens plays hyper fast, and that's not good when you're a dog. But you know, Matt Painter in the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament, he got a lead on UCLA and started subbing. And he said in the postgame press conference, yeah, I wanted to rest some players for the next day. Well, he's got bigger fish to fry than Queens later on. And I think he'll have his subs in there very, very early. And I think the back door is wide open here for Queens. So I think I actually would bet Queens plus 25.5.
Okay.
That's my angle anyway.
Going over to the Midwest Conference, the top four seeds are Michigan, Alabama, Virginia, and Iowa State. Okay, we start off Michigan, Howard.
Boy, that is pretty
weak. 116. Yeah, it is.
They must like Michigan.
They have a pretty easy draw. I was thinking the same when I saw the brackets.
Yeah, that is really, that's a joke, actually. Alabama.
Yeah. And now we have the 8-9 game, Georgia and St. Louis. What's the line on that?
It's 2.5, Georgia.
All right, so this is the lock of the tournament.
There it is. Here it is, yeah. The Boston lock. I'm ready.
Lock of the tournament. I'm excited for this.
So Mike White is Shirts versus Mike White's is a complete joke. Like, one of the best coaches against one of the worst. So automatically, St. Louis is a massive edge. The time off that St. Louis had by getting knocked out earlier in that A-10 tournament will help Avila, who has plantar fasciitis. Only thing that helps that is rest. This team was playing at an elite level a month ago and kind of came crashing down at the end. So this little break, I think, allows them maybe to get back to the elite level they were at. And if they come anywhere close to that, I mean, the team won in VCU, which is no joke. Trust me, that is a really good win. Georgia is nothing. They have no good wins this year. They beat Alabama in a good situation. And again, I'm doing this from memory, so if I screw up, I apologize to the viewers.
You know a lot more than I do.
I don't remember any good wins they had. They were life and death with Georgia Tech earlier in the year, which is a joke. I don't like this team. I don't like the coach, and I can't imagine St. Louis losing the game. I just can't.
So we're
see any
is,
way they
is
lose
Georgia
this game.
The favorite 2.5 in this game?
Yeah, Georgia. Yes, 2.5 point.
So we
favorite.
Got the dog in the upset money line. You heard it, Alan Boston with the
yeah.
lock. Of
yeah,
the
it
tournament.
Was a real success last year. I got everyone broke.
Yeah, but we came on strong and we had the winner.
Yeah, we did. We finished good.
Okay,
we didn't do the podcast though, so no one listening knows.
So we now go to Texas. Akron, the 5-12 Akron, the 5-12. What's the line at Cantu?
Texas Tech is minus 7.5.
Okay. What do you think of this?
So I would have given Texas Tech a chance to go a long way, but they lost JT Toppin, who's one of the best players in the country, to injury like a month ago. And they've still played well. I mean, they won an Iowa State without him, which is just nuts. But Akron has failed miserably when they stepped up in against better teams. And disturbing to me was the 115-100 loss to Murray State on a neutral court. They also lost to Yale on a neutral court. Now, Yale's a very good team, but they're not what they're going to, you know, they're not Texas Tech. So I think the line's slightly high, but I would never, ever bet Akron because they just didn't stand up to the better teams very well. They might be just good at beating up bad teams, and I don't like Croce as a coach either.
Okay.
So pass.
And the last on the top end of the bracket, Alabama, the 4 against Hofstra. What's the line?
11.5, minus 11.5.
So I got kind of a hunch here. So Hallwell, you got to give this kid credit. He took his NIL money and bought some weed. Unfortunately, the only bad thing he did was get caught with it. No, he's trying to make some money. Like, You make this money, what do? You make more money. So he became a drug dealer. There's nothing wrong with that. I doubt 2.1 pounds of pot is for self-use. If it is, then he shouldn't be playing basketball. But anyway, you got to give the kid credit. At least his Alabama education, in quotation marks, has taught him to be, you know, a business person. So good for him. Bad for him is he's probably not going to get to play in the NCAA tournament, which is maybe good for this betting line because the line has dropped. And Alabama has had injuries the entire year, guys in and out of the lineup all year. So Hallwell's absence, although he is great, I don't think matters that much. They'll plug someone in because the system is what matters down there. So Nate Oates tried to cheat earlier by pulling the guy out of the pro league and then saying, oh, I guess he was saying the guy wants to get his college education. We should let him come back and, you know, take a course in philosophy. Like, yeah, right. He needed a big guy to make his team better and went and plucked one out of the G League, which is absolutely disgusting that he's defending that. So luckily the courts ruled against that. And now he's got the drug dealer who I'm sure he'll want to play, but I'm also sure he shouldn't. That being said, they are very, very good at beating up on bad teams. And not that Hofstra's a bad team and Speedy Claxton's done an amazing job there, but they are in over their heads here. And I have a hunch that the whole dynamic of this kid being tossed is going to get Alabama motivated to play well. And they struggled in last year's first round against Robert Morris. But Andy Toole, Robert Morris, is one of the best coaches in the country. And
I remember last year we had Bama going to the finals. We were deciding.
Yeah, this team isn't as good, and they their defense can be lacking at times, but they shouldn't worry about that here. And I don't know. I don't see how Hofstra stays in the game. So I kind of like Alabama.
And then we have the sixth seed versus the winner of a team you wanted to talk about. You said Miami, Ohio, SMU. I think that's tonight. Tennessee versus Miami, Ohio, SMU. What do you think?
What do you think about the Miami, Ohio getting in, being 30-0 at one point?
Yeah, the guy we had last week said that they were going to lose in the conference tournament and they shouldn't be allowed in. They're not very good. You think differently.
Okay, so I think they shouldn't be in either. However.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Well, I try to be pragmatic about it. Who are the best teams? That's who gets in. Not who has quad one wins and quad two wins, because that's all bullshit.
Right.
Whoever the best teams, that's who's in. But that's not what they do. The committee never does that. They never have the best teams in. Not one year have they come close to getting it right. So a team goes 30-0 in the last, let's say, 12 to 15 games, they're getting everyone's best shot. So Bruce Pearl wants to go, you know, defend his son who did a terrible job this year. Well, they should be in the tournament. They would go 30. No, they wouldn't go 30-0 against Miami's schedule. As bad as it was, it's hard to go 30-0 when every team is all in against you.
Right.
And I think there'd be too much furor, too much of a brouhaha if they didn't get Miami's in. So the committee was probably under pressure saying, you know what? Fuck it. We'll just let them in this time. And you know,
I mean,
we'll
I've seen teams lose in a conference tournament that were 30-2 that didn't get in a couple years. So.
Yeah, but this is 30-0. Yeah, this is different. This is undefeated. This never happens.
I think you got to let them in.
Of course, you have to let them in.
Do they have a chance against SMU?
They're not nearly good enough. They wouldn't even beat SMU? Central Florida.
Are they going to beat SMU?
They have a chance. SMU stinks.
Okay.
And Enfield's a clown. They have a chance, yeah.
And then let's just say they do win.
The line is too high. The line's too high. And Miami had all their players back. They had four starters back and a bunch of reserves. And look what happens. You get a decent coach. With all his players back, the system's in place, and they just get better and better and better. And that's what happened. That's how college basketball should be.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be let's pay everybody and poach players and poach coaches.
What do you think of Tennessee? So let's just say they win, or if SMU wins, do either of them
Tennessee's
have a chance
a big
against
favorite
Tennessee.
Over either one of them.
Right.
They're like 11 over Miami O, and they're like 7 over SMU. So, yeah, 6.5 over SMU. So something like that. So Tennessee will beat either one of them.
Here's a team a lot of people.
I'm not a Rick Barnes fan either, by the way.
Right. Here's a team a lot of people are really high on in this conference and in the tournament. Virginia, they're a 3 seed. They're playing Wright State. Are you high on Virginia, or do you think they have a chance?
No chance. They've hit their ceiling again. Odom is great. Ironically, Odom coached Maryland Baltimore County when they beat Virginia. So life's come full circle. I'm pretty sure he was the coach when they. The 1 versus 16.
Then we got Kentucky and Santa Clara, 7 versus 10.
I mean, if they want picks, I think Wright State covers that game easily. I think Wright State has a very good chance to hang a long way in that game. Okay. Virginia just played Duke to the wire. It's hard to get motivated after you play the number one team. Wright State has a lot of depth, so when they go to their bench, it's not going to be a disaster like it is for most of these mid-majors. I think that line is really high. I think Wright State's got a good chance to hang.
Okay, and then this is a really interesting game. A 7-seed Kentucky against a red-hot Santa Clara, 7 versus 10. What's the line, Cantu?
Kentucky minus 3.5. Now, this is kind of an interesting one because right when this game opened, it opened 1.5 and instantly got bet up to 3.5. Well, I'm kind of a Santa Clara fan just because I love the West Coast Conference, but
what do you think? Nice. Thoughts here?
Yeah, Herb Sendek's great. He's rumored to be the next coach of Providence, but Santa Clara's trying to raise all kinds of money to keep him there. I don't blame him. He's great. Sendek's always been great.
He was the coach of NC State, right? Yeah.
NC State years ago, yeah. They ran him out. Yeah. I remember doing a radio show in Vegas back then saying that they're going to rue the day that they ran him out. And I say rue the day, and I'm not referencing Real Genius, where the main character says, you'll rue the day, and Val Kilmer says, rue? Who speaks like that?
So anyway, moving,
that's my Real Genius reference. One of the great movies of all time.
Absolutely. This line moved 2 points. Who do you, are you with the move here?
I think 1.5 is probably closer to the truth than 3.5. I think, you know, Kentucky only paid $22 million for this team this year. That pretty sad commentary in the world, right?
Yeah.
And half of them are half of them. But you know, he lost two of his better players to the year for injury. He lacks a point guard. The offense that is once so free-flowing and very efficient hasn't been this year, perhaps because of the injuries, perhaps because of the loss of the point guard. And Sendek is elite at defending, at finding ways to stop teams. And Kentucky wants to play fast, and there's no way on this planet that Sendek's going to let that happen. Yeah, and I would definitely lean to Santa Clara. I think they have a good chance to win the game.
Okay, and then
I hope they do, because if they didn't beat St. Mary's, they probably weren't in the tournament, which would have been an absolute disgrace.
And then the 2-seed Iowa State, Tennessee State, you don't see
Yeah,
anything.
Forget it. Tennessee State had more NIL money than everybody else, and they won. But you can't lack talent and play Iowa State. It gets ugly quick.
All righty. Well, we're going to take our last break of the day, and then we're going to come back with Alan's final four picks and who he thinks is going to win the tournament this year. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Feta Sports on the VSiN Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Feta Sports Podcast. Cantu, what are you thinking, brother?
Yeah, well, here, one of my questions is everybody's been saying there's like only a few teams that have a realistic shot to win it. And don't be too exact on this, but let's just say what I call a realistic chance to win it, any team better than 50-1 chance to win it. How many teams do you think fall into that can really win this tournament with how good some of the upper echelon teams are?
Zero.
That's what a lot of people are. So you're agreeing then with what the people are saying?
Yeah, it's a rigged game, and that's it. It's the haves and the have-nots, and the haves are always going to have it. And like Utah State might be the one team that could cause some trouble, but they're a 10-point dog to Michigan. Like it. So you'd have to win as a 10-point dog twice. You're already like, you know, was it 5.5-1 or something? So you're already 30-1 dog already.
So give us your final four dog. Picks. Give us your final four pick, Alan, and who you think
is going
to
play. I have
Mike's
phone, and I can now scroll down and look. So the East, I would say, is going to be, Oh, my God. UCLA plays UConn in the second round? Oh, they fuck Cronin over. What a big surprise.
Yeah.
I'll take UConn in that bracket.
Okay.
And then Florida.
Okay.
And what do we got here? I'll take Gonzaga.
Wow.
Wow.
And Michigan.
Wow.
And then who plays who?
Gonzaga plays Michigan.
So that's Michigan. They beat him by 40 the first time, so I imagine they'll probably beat him again.
Yeah. And then UConn would be playing
Florida. And I'll take Florida. And I'll take Florida in the final.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm not very good at this, by the way.
Wow.
But.
It doesn't matter. My man Alan, who had 40-1 on Florida last year, cast the ticket to win it all. Yep. He is
I got
now,
18-1 this year.
He has 18-1 this year on Florida. Wow.
How many tickets do you have the preseason, like long shots like that, or how many do you have right now?
Well, there's one.
No, you know, Florida was more recent. I got Vanderbilt at 101, I think. Louisville at 101, and Illinois at, I forget, 30-1. Those were a long time ago.
What's so funny is, like, up until
Louisville has no chance.
Up until 3 years ago, I thought Vanderbilt was a truck, and I didn't even know they had a school. Now the Nilman y'all comes in. They have a top 10, 15 football program. They have a top 15 basketball. I don't even know where the hell Vanderbilt is.
Well, they're a very good academic school, and at a time when these schools gave a shit about, you know, having academics matter, you couldn't get some of the kids in that might, you know, be football stars or basketball stars. Now they don't give a fuck because they generate so much money from it. So, we'll let the academics slide. Plus, they're only going to be here a year anyway. So, yeah, it's all bullshit.
We got about 3 minutes left, and I'm going to ask you a question that. Give me your honest answer. Do you think
I don't know anything about honest?
Out of the who you picked,
that's all I know, bro.
Out of the going to the Final Four, is there any team that's outside a top four seed that you think can make the Final Four and maybe even make it to the finals?
Jesus,
we know Vanderbilt.
Well, I mean,
a five.
St. John's gets
John's
hot,
is a five.
They're a five seed,
right?
But they shouldn't be a five seed. So that's a joke. It's a joke that Kansas is a four and they're a five. Like,
yeah.
And Louisville's better than Kansas too. This is a tough bracket. Damn.
Yeah.
This is a brutal bracket. Boy, they really stuck it to Duke. Usually Duke gets a cupcake draw, but not this year. Ugh.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm scrolling down, dude. I don't do brackets. I do picks. Vanderbilt is a five. You saw Vanderbilt crush Florida. They could certainly go far. That was an immense effort, and they have a pretty easy bracket, except they have Florida, who they just crushed. So that's trouble.
Yeah.
I'd like to say St. Mary's, they're my favorite team, but that ain't going to happen. I'll tell you what, Utah State upsetting Arizona is certainly a possibility.
Wow.
Jerry Calhoun's unbelievable. Genius. He's a Huggins disciple. Of course he is. Let's see. What other fives we got? Fives and up. Texas Tech, no. Not without Toppin. Tennessee, no. Rick Barnes will find a way to blow it. No, that's about it. I got no more.
If St. John's could hit some threes, you're right. I think they could be scary.
Right, but they lack. They don't have the team. They don't have good enough shooting. And Pitino's hole in his coaching is the offense he runs is not the greatest. His half court offense is lacking.
Is it more that do you think Pitino's a good coach? Because he did turn St. John's around. Is it that he's a great coach or a great recruiter, would you say?
He's both. I don't know if he's everyone says he's a great coach, but I think he's excellent. And he's always been an excellent recruiter. But recruiting is how smarmy you can be, and he certainly has that in spades.
Well, Alan, we appreciate
you coming
on the podcast.
I'm not a Pitino fan, by the way.
We appreciate you coming on the podcast. Your insight is impeccable. Hopefully, we do well, a little bit better in the early part of the tournaments than the last part, because you're going to help me win a $5,000 bracket. And then we'll see.
Cantu wasn't here live, so what's the point?
Yeah, well, you know.
I didn't get to see Cantu.
Yeah, but just being able to see him is just, you know. It's just love.
Yeah.
All right,
and there's
everybody.
Where's Helmuth? We can't. No Helmuth to shit on.
You have one thing to say to Phil real quick? We'll throw in an extra one.
Yeah, I miss you, Phil, and I wish I could be investing in your 97 businesses that you're involved in.
Yeah. There you go. All right, man. I appreciate you. Thanks for coming on, Alan. This is Mike the Mouth Matasso, Brandon Cantu, Alan Boston, coming to you from the Fade Us Sports Podcast. And as always, fade me, fade Cantu.
That's right.
And don't fade Alan. We'll see you next week.